Blog Talk Radio.
We are playing the guys on the street that talk about capitalism.
The police is the enemy. Everywhere the white man go, he bring misery. All throughout history, look it up. Everything the ball heads touch, they fuck it up. Every government he set up, it be corrupt.
Revolution. Revolution.
Dead prayers. People army. Steve Marley. Ghetto youth crew. What you know is who you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are in the world? What is your worldview? What do you go through?
One, two, check it out, right? Five stages of consciousness right here. You got your conscious, you know what I mean? World out. You got your subconscious, you bringing the dawn. You got your superconscious, keep trapping the man. You got your magnetic conscious, let him know one more. And then we're infinite, right? Keep on moving. Dimensions ain't heavy enough. We got some improvement for real, son. Right now, son, you ain't better yet.
Yeah, I forever stay ready, done. Money run gun under the belly, kinda heavy. Pretty pearl, tickle my belly, but steady by the waistline. Thirsty to dump, but thought twice before I took time to waste. Nine of mine in his mind, I let him live now. Realize what he did. Perhaps you got a child on the line, and I ain't got time for no bid. She bad enough, the warmest squad already bars in my crib. With their guns drawn, seeking killers, then who done slid many moons ago. Across town, whereabouts, unknown. Heights blaring loud on my Yui, like who give a fuck. A puff a bone as usual, suspect can never be. A lot sees everything. A bad boy's silence is the key to longevity. So take this advice before I reiterate the thought to take your life, and I will.
Magazines recover that homo scenes. Two teens living off rhyming schemes. Always had dreams to be discovered. In the meanwhile, had a low child, got put in foul with the rest of them. A-17 with blade infected guns. Had to watch my back when I shit and piss. Niggas busting nuts with COs. Early's when turtles frisk. Your face is the risk. Buck with they smile, your face get lifted. Then you shifted to another facility. Same shit back in the world. Stand strong and watch the weak curl from the pressure. Everyday life, career endeavor. The knowledge syllable in my name is straight terror. Killer army running through your whole fucking era. With five stages of consciousness, it's whipping change like the weather. Some strong forecast, disrupt trap right off the pad. Allow me to add, destruct your subject just like math. Ran you off in the first half, this quarter won't last. Finger leaning on the trigger, guns blast. Consciously, this track smash.
Hard pools for hard times, kid. Going through this typical stage, yet I maintain. Coping with the stress and pain. Still in seek of the shoulder that box the rain. I'll throw you gone in the flesh. My mental contains to the times to explain the duty of a wise man to the mind. Summer planes, which is physical, mental, will and emotion. Realization to control to my infinite devotion, which is to seek the unsight. Conceive a fresh start. Teach the seeds the wrong foods. They made them what they not. Now my duty is to civilize and to penalize those for coming must have gotten spent alive. I take it upon myself to rebuild the skies. You fucking snake, and that is the crack is tight. The flowers are lifted again, you will strike. I waste no time with searching for mystery. With every 25,000, we renew our history. To be the God, the age had a black man, and I be goddamn. To be absent when the shit hit the fan.
The government calls us traitors or deviants because we believe that we have the right to be ourselves.
And yo, 3 years trapped in the belly of the beast got me on some. Fuck the laws, fuck the fed coats, fuck the judge, cause they don't give two shits about us. Black man, woman, or child, how we living? Over here trapped in the world's power. Things like this happen on the regular. Innocent bystanders get trapped off on the streets of my stomping grounds where constant war pops off like wine bottles on the regular. Like clockwork to be pacific.
The general wise, dotted fatigues. Mentally for life I bleed and promise to be the seeds. He was supreme general in the army. Real intelligent little bugs. More with thugs and sold drugs to survive. Civilized in 85 and saved many lives. But these waterhead niggas dealt with the four devils. Ceased to revel and brought the guard physically down to another level. Now I'm at his weight. The great general passed away with a smile on his face. I swear, if you was to hear these pussy niggas get tortured, well, I stick hooks up their noses and cut off their ears. Even their family members have to pay. Brothers, mothers, sisters, and fathers get manslaughtered the right way. I'm not dealing with feelings without fear of children. Weak niggas destroying, short niggas is building. Even as the general, that's what I quote. They take a grenade to your head and watch your brain explode.
I sling war slang like cocaine. Verbal dope that numbs your brain. Like a shot of Novocaine. In your death, you will feel no pain. I just jigged you with my sword and the tip was poisonous. Snakes speak lies and the words is venomous. Who hits come continuous. So give a fuck if Part 97 ain't feeling this. See what I'm revealing is the truth. And I go back to be the proof. The youth be the fruits and the elders be the roots. I stand solid on the firmament. This black man be the dominant intelligence. These be the words of my testament. Written getting documents of the thought that makes me get props and sell tapes like cash crops. Motherfuckers.
One, two. Public service announcement for all the people out there listening to this funky ass boom bap album. Check it out.
Michelangelo. I know this happened in 1519, yet this is the image we keep. All right, we back once again on the Dr. Alain Bay Show, and we have a special guest tonight, Brother Baba New. Over a year or so, we lectured together, it was then talking about Islam, is it part of the Kemetic teachings, you know. So we was dealing with that issue, and tonight we're going to be dealing with another issue, and which is called consciousness and the changing face of reality. Brother Baba New, are you here?
I am here. Good evening, Doctor. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, brother. We waiting for you. We are happy that you are here. And, let's get it started.
Thank you very, very much, man. That lecture that we did a year ago, I really learned a lot from what you were talking about in terms of the mission of the Moorish Science Temple. And what direction Noble Drew Ali wanted it to go in, and what direction it was coming from, and it's always what I've learned about consciousness and reality perception. It's really up to how much detail you have that you can truly measure whether or not you really understand something. So, we live in a fast-paced world of, mountains of information, a whole lot of time spent around the finances of capitalism, but we are trying to grasp a perception of reality that we are comfortable with and that we would even want to entertain. But oftentimes we don't realize it really, you have to give yourself time to explore something and to learn. And, why I call the show, consciousness and reality perception is because in just the past week or so, this is after having written 3 books, I've been doing a lot of research on history. It's like I am going back to school now, but I'm also realizing that what I'm using for my research shows me that the revolution is being televised. Not a lot of the evolution is being televised. Very, very little of the critical things that humanity really has to do to evolve is being televised. But a whole lot of where we have come as a species on the planet is actually being televised pretty accurately, even around, race and culture. But a whole lot still of, our perception from a very ancient time of what the universe is, which really, really will help us to deal with what we need to deal with as a species to evolve, that still isn't being presented much. So our perception of reality and consciousness is still stuck on certain ideas and, places in the human historical experience. The human historical experience came along with certain traumas of interactions, and some of us are still stuck there. So our ability to evolve, and it shows on a grand scale through how a people set their culture up, what is morality for them, what is not, and the type of programming, because all ancient cultures had reality perception outlets. All ancient cultures had a way of displaying their perspective of reality on a grand scale to the general population. You don't need so-called television and the internet to broadcast a whole lot of data to people. That's why they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. We had a whole lot of artwork and drawings and stuff like that as ways of getting people to see a version of life that, let's say, the leaders agreed with. you know, where you're from, what are your origins, you know, basic questions that, let's call it a conscious being will want to know, you know, things like the past, what's the past, what's the present, what's the future. There's overwhelming proof that we were contemplating these types of things. Now, when did we actually start to do these types of things isn't really being made clear. It is already being made clear that, it, you know, first it was dark-skinned, black, African, et cetera, people who evolved into what they call modern man. And the law that has to do with not being hairy, you know, had evolved to use tools, have families, build houses, you know, have some, you know, have the trappings of civilization, have speech and stuff like that. But the reality perception index, where it comes to the real, how these people really viewed life, looking at their culture and not falling for the dogma of ancient days were savage. Because even though a lot of us do a whole lot of studying, we are comfortable with whom we are racially, we are proud, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We know that there's still a perception of ancient cultures when you look at the types of masks that they use, when you look at the rituals that they did, there's still a perception of they are ancient or primitive, and we are modern and civilized. So we still have issues with real morality perception. And I say that because I watched another wonderful documentary done by Caucasian people on ancient Egypt, a.k.a. Kemet, and a few other ancient civilizations. And what they stated unequivocally were, these people were far more evolved than we are. But what they also showed is that by denoting this period as the Golden Age, this is the period when you could say most civilizations, if not all of them, that were dominant, advanced, and classical were African. The Golden Age of civilization has passed. Now, we are living in a time where we are being told that we are modern, we have improved, but the history books affirm that we've passed the Golden Age of civilization. We're actually in decline. You see what I mean by consciousness and reality perception?
Exactly.
So, you know, when people are trying to find their way and get an idea of what they should be, what they should identify with, there's still some really, really critical things that we have to deal with as a human species, because the vast majority of us are still not in correct alignment relative to the past, the present, and what the future should be. We have a skewed perception of the past. Not that there are instances, and you can't rarely see them now, of places where people live in not such, you could call it, advanced conditions. But in that, another issue that we have that I've found, a lot of us really don't know what it means to live in a morally advanced civilization. It's something that by living in the fallout of civilization past the golden era for such a long period of time, you can lose that compass.
Well, right now, what is the right perception, or what do we need to be looking towards? Because we know that the perception, as you have stated, is being controlled by others from the Roman Catholic Church, or what is known as the Vatican, Papal State, hence, i.e. the Pope, Black Pope, or whatever the case may be, down to their constituents, you know, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, / i.e. 13 top Illuminazis, you know, and others, and their various puppets, you know, with the Boule and et cetera. How can we go outside of that matrix in which that they seemingly control in which that most of us have bought into and start having the right perception? What can we, you know, what can we do?
Well, and I'm going to give it to you straight because, like I said, you know, this was after writing three books. I spent the last 2 weeks, hours upon hours of research. It's not easy to write three books. It's a lot of research. And I'm telling you that you cannot, how, there is no easy way out. I don't want to break anybody's spirit because you have to be inspired. You have to, you know, really, really feel that, you know, things are going to get better. And things will, but it's not going to be an easy way out. Meaning, how do you start to, you have to do a lot of research. And you have to be honest in the realization that you're a human being. And you're a human being for a reason. You have a far way to go. We have a far way to go on the evolutionary scale and ladder. So as we try to, in the realization that we are in a degenerate condition, I mean, this is pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, intelligent and sane people realize that man is living in a degenerate condition. That we can definitely, and have, we have lived better than this. As a human species on the planet in general, we have lived better than we are living now. You know? Just by looking at the architecture of the pyramids, the layout of a lot of ancient civilizations, even some African villages, looking at just looking at the layout and what these people hold sacred to them to the most, there's proof that we have lived much, much better. So getting on the path of being really, really clear, because it does take really, really being clear and yet still being functional, as not meaning not to be imbalanced, being very clear that you are living in a degenerate state of human civilization, and you have to do as much research as you can on every single contributing factor. Every single contributing factor. Because because if you want to play any role in uplifting humanity, nothing short of that will make a dent. If you want to make a dent, you have to do years and years of research and contemplation. And anyone that does not think this is not realistic. And that is also because the tide, you know, like I'm looking at what I am pleased with in terms of saying that the revolution is being televised. I'm like, this is great. But I'm quite clear that the evolution isn't being televised.
Right.
We still got to move. You know, we might start to, you know, resolve, you know, inconsistencies in histories that label a certain people as non-contributive. You know, you can see obvious cases of white supremacy. It's a major issue, you know, and that isn't really being addressed either.
Right. Well, we know that the racism, which is part of the tentacles of the said Illuminati or whatever you want to refer to them as, the so-called elite, in which that they branch out throughout society through these various areas such as education, entertainment, sex, labor law, politics, religion, you know, and et cetera, you know, and they spread out and they bring in that white supremacist racist philosophy, you know. And what can we do? You know, basically that's, the, you know, what is, you know, solutions towards that, you know, because we know, you know, those issues may not have been addressed, but How can you get, you know, how can you begin to get on the road towards solution?
Right. So now we have those things. Now, people like that, people who are serious enough to show the sacrifice with their time, even their lifestyle, to actually put in the work and find a way to really hammer out something tangible that they can say, you know, this is serious for me. This is not a joke. Because one of the things that I realized, let's call it business, successful business people are very, very clear about success. And there's a difference between people who have ambition and the ability to bring a task to completion and people who don't, because it shows in what they have done. Those people are going to have to deal with what's stopping them from unifying, because this is happening. This means this is happening amongst us as a species, is happening amongst us as a race, is happening amongst us as family units, is happening amongst us as nations and countries. See, me, there's no, and the wild thing is that there's no guarantee that we are going to pull this off.
Right.
And history has shown cases where we didn't pull it off and the results. Because we're not alone in the universe and we don't run things. There are other bigger people than us that have opinions and feelings too.
Right.
So, you know, if we have to acknowledge the fact that it shows a responsibility to self-preservation, basic self-preservation, to seriously look at the issues and a resolution. You know, and I say this because when I watch documentaries on things like fear of genetic annihilation, which does not supersede really fear of, you could call it, the survival and the immortality of the different parts of the human anatomy that they label under the soul and the spirit. So you don't have to scare your people into thinking that, you know, we need to kill off all of them, you know, because once we mix in with them, there's no more what you might call Caucasian race. Because your evolution, one for one, is beyond race.
That is the truth of the matter.
And I realize I keep coming back around to this point, is that they're young. That's where you see people's youth.
Okay.
Because it's not your demise, it's your survival.
Right.
It's your survival. Your survival depends on my survival. And this is proven genetically with the Caucasian race and the Aboriginal indigenous races. Their survival depends on ours.
That's true.
But that is with amalgamation.
Right.
We grow up.
Well, they say by 2056, there won't be any Caucasians left, at least here in America, and most definitely probably not around the world, based on the fact that their genetics is now, as far as breeding, is down to 1.3, in which that by that time it will be zero. So
Race
will soon not be a factor as far as that is concerned, but I'm sure we'll be dealing with other issues. And so ultimately, the main thing that we will have to deal with is self, and that is the science of spirituality, spiritualizing this flesh or matter.
Yeah. The reason is, when you look at how much fear of genetic, how much issues fear of genetic annihilation and fear of extinction. I mean, let's be psychologically realistic. you're basically being given a timeline to extinction. And you're telling the world, this is public information, you're telling the world that there's nothing that you can do because you're not reproducing. Now, you're doing better than you've ever done in your history on top of planet Earth. Like, this is the most advanced you've reached, but you can't maintain your population. I mean, maybe it's because of all the things you had to do to get there. Maybe it's, you know, something psychological like that. But the point is that this is what you are saying, that you have issues with reproducing. So, right. And that your numbers are in decline.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, whether or not there are black people around, you're going to be gone.
Right.
But then you're saying black people don't have this problem. We have to give it to them.
Right.
It sounds like they need a consciousness and reality perception checkup. Because it sounds like their salvation is intermarriage with the indigenous people and amalgamation, what is called amalgamation.
Yeah.
That's a hard choice to make.
It is.
You know, and it's also a hard thing to live with, in that you are saying, well, you know, like, what's wrong with me? You got to look at the psychology of racism. Because it looks very insane.
Because it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, you have to get some Francis Quest welding in your brain. The lady is not a crackpot. Her theories are very sound and rational.
Mm-hmm.
Pure psychology based on biology. Because we have to be realistic what we're dealing with, period. Period. We have to be realistic with what we are dealing with. Was this some kind of methodology for prodding evolution forward that has gone bad? Because it looks like it. But, you know, in terms of what we have to do to get out of this mess, that careful research, and then that building bridges with people of means.
Right. Let's go into the exploration of Gnosticism and un-Gnosticism.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I had to come to the realization that we live in an agnostic paradigm.
Okay.
Agnostic paradigm is, you know, a particular, it's the removal of a lot of the sciences, you know, science of the universe, like, you know, what is behind what we can actually look and see. What is underneath it, what is inside there, what we can't see. It's a removal of a lot of that side of life from as much people in the population as you possibly can. And that is what is agnosticism. You know, the you know Gnosticism it traces its roots directly to ancient Kemet in terms of it being called Gnosticism and it having a home around that name. So, you know, you will find, like, recently, and, you know, like, I've seen this thing on several major news outlets now, because I was checking out some major news outlets. I'm talking, like, talk shows, you know, like, popular talk shows. Where they had this, you know, in the Gnostic text that, you know, like, they just decoded some Gnostic text, and in there, they are referring to Jesus as having been married. You know, like, this is a big deal, you know, there was, you could say that there was a major conflict between Gnostics and agnostics that never really ended, as Gnostics represented the old world paradigm and the old world power institutions as well, while the agnostics, they represent who were going to be, you could say, like the pawns that disseminate a skewed perception of reality and consciousness. You know, those were the ones whereby, let's say, a couple hundred years ago, on the constellation, you were seeing the names of deities. Now those are just planets. They're no longer gods and goddesses anymore. They're just planets now. You know, they're just big, you know, some of them are suns, which are nothing more than gas balls. And I say this because we know, we as in me, as in a we that I'm talking about that encompasses me and some other people that I study and stuff like that with, we know that planet Earth not just has a sun at the center, as science is validating this, but within this sun is a ship. And within planet Earth, there are civilizations, there are, you know, organizations, there are structures, there are different types of beings. The Gnostic text calls the planet sunships. So you can see how language, when you're spelling, you're casting spells, but the definition is a major part of how you cast a spell, in so much as what you call it. You know, you went from calling it, this is English, but it still shows you, because one is a translation of what was considered not Gnostic, and another is a translation of what we know as agnostic. So in the Gnostic text, planets are called sunships. But when you're reading the Gnostic text, the sunships have personalities. In fact, the sunships are the deities. That's a totally different reality perception. But the deities are, you know, like they are very clear in all these documentaries that it could say this goes back to ancient Egypt, it's Freemasons, and this is what the founding fathers believed. They are, you know, very, very clear that Osiris is Orion's belt, and, you know, Isis is the Sirius star system, is what they are saying. So, you know, there's this, you know, coming to light of evidence of, you know, you can get at least an alternative idea to the way that people viewed life and the universe, the environment and surroundings back in ancient times. But, you know, one is agnostic and the other is Gnostic. Agnosticism allows something like the science departments that state, you know, it was a random coming together of events that colluded and we had a big bang and now we have a universe. I mean, that is so absurd. That is more absurd than fractional reserve banking, which means that we have to bomb a country, loot it for its gold, because we just told all these people they can make all this money, and you really can't. So we need to get it from someone else. Random coming, like it just happened, is what you're telling me, because really what you're telling me is that the universe just happened, like really. And we are supposed to believe this. But you're the science dude who's running the technological evolution of human civilization. Like, scientists are supposed to be in the lead. And they'll tell you, oh, and it all came from nothing. Yeah, we came from nothing. The universe came from nothing and evolved into something. Man, can you bring that to math class? If Something cannot come from nothing. That's like me going to a store to buy $500 worth of product and just giving the dude a big zero on a paper. But reality, perception, consciousness, social engineering leaves you just glossing over it like, okay. Like, that has no effect on my life. That you were just told that you came from nothing.
Interesting.
So, when we talk about the golden age of human civilization, back in the golden, that's called the golden age of human civilization, people weren't being broadcasted all over the airwaves that they came from nothing. Like, when if you even got the chance to go to school, you learned something totally different than you came from nothing and that a big bang just happened. And you had a different perception of yourself, of where you are, where you're coming from, and where you should be going. Because now it is easy to buy people. It's very, very easy to purchase people's allegiance for pennies on the dollar.
For the Bobby Lou?
Yes, sir.
Okay, making sure that you're still here, because it sounded like the audio went out. But let's get into exploring the role of astronomy, as we were talking about Orion and Sirius, in the design of ancient civilization.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's you got to understand that the way that we've been made to perceive reality is to help certain individuals feel a sense of power. Now, when you look at astronomy as being a validation of the existence of not just the deities, but their influence in life, and it can be proven mathematically, weight, size, mass, etc. You know, there's a reason why you have astrology charts connected to your destiny. You know, for those people who actually do study. You know, for those who don't, when you look at the size of a planet and the proximity of it orbiting other planets, there's an influence. The interstellar, but you know, if they told you that the interstellar medium is a vacuum, then as opposed to it being more like a plasma liquid and gaseous state of hydrogen, then you could understand how waves, whether it be wind or whether it be like water waves, would be pushing and bringing certain currents with certain type of energies to different time periods relative to their movement. So astronomy, which was so important that it is canonized when we speak of the Muslims and the symbol of Islam, which is, you know, a crescent moon and a star, and they were called stargazers, because ancient people understood you, for you to progress in life, for you to understand where you're coming from, where you have to go, a key part of it is keeping track of the movements of the planets.
That's true. Now, I was saying, now, how do that relate to the designing of ancient civilization? We know that and we know that the Amazulu people said that we came from Mars before we came here.
Right.
And we know that Bob Marley speaks about, heaven on earth.
Right.
We know that even in the Bible itself, it says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the heavens is always correlated to earth, you know,
right.
And you see in Egypt, and you see the three pyramids, and, you know, the exact proportion is that of the Orion, or three stars in Orion belt from, you know,
right.
So from 10,500 B.C., you know, is this our purpose in one sense, is to bring heaven to earth?
Yes. Now, not only are they in alignment with certain constellations, the fact that they're also on certain, on what are called ley lines, lines of stronger electromagnetic detection, stronger electromagnetic proof of, you know, like circuitry of the planet. Because it also shows that there is a connection with the planet's circuitry and the constellations. Meaning that in aligning major structures, temples, you could say buildings of government, buildings of religion, and then other structures like pyramids, which were used for several different things. You know, they are finding out several different things that the pyramids were used for in terms of exactly what you are talking about, which is bringing heaven down on earth. And they understood that bringing this higher light and wisdom, and this is, you know, this has to be very, very critical and very, very clear, because, you know, I had said, you know, we have to realize that we are human. A lot of us don't want to accept the fact that humanity as a species, even in the universe, is lower, and we are on this planet because we have a lot of growth. Bringing heaven down in these ancient civilizations was directly correlated to evolution of consciousness and upliftment of humanity through the expansion of these, let's call them frequencies, the vibes from certain planetary systems. You know, when we're talking about setting up temples to the Neteru and having statues with their ka, which is the word ki, by the way, with their energy, you know, chi is energy, that helps and plays a role in, let's call it, you know, architectural feng shui in designing of a city and in designing of a civilization. You know, so I look now at these ancient civilizations with their temples, with their statues. I look at it from a perspective of circuitry, flow of energy, changing of frequencies, upliftment of humanity, and I see a totally different perspective than I had 10 years back on these indigenous ancient classical nations that fought so hard to make a stand with architectural monuments like stone temples, stone pyramids. Now, they call it the Stone Age, but as the Stone Age is seen as being primitive, but, you know, being a priest in the tradition, stone is very, very important for carrying certain energies. You know, it's not like if, I mean, what are we going to move on to? You have stone, you have metal, you know, you have wood, you know, you have these type of physical elements you can use to build with. Those are the best, not plastic.
That's right.
You know, so they weren't building with stone and the Stone Age because they were primitive. Like, they wouldn't do like a skyscraper. It doesn't have the same frequency. It doesn't give off the same energy and vibration. Neither does it capture the same energy and vibration.
That's right, because we know in ancient Egypt, the overlaying was limestone, and the indication was you know. And both of them are fantastic as far as natural electrical magnetic conductors.
Yeah, you know, they found that the aqueduct or, like, the water flow systems under the Great Pyramid of Giza helps to generate electromagnetic current. Now, flowing water passed along certain shapes with certain width generates electromagnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Also, they have found that the Great Pyramid of Giza has signs of it being used for very, very chemicals were poured in there, and, you know, blasts would go off. Now, for people who are really, really into chemistry and do a lot of research, that would make a lot of sense for one of the stated purposes of the pyramids in the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the ceremonies surrounding the, you know, Book of Coming Forth by Day, relating to specifically kings, you know, and relating to Orion's Belt.
Right.
And, you know, what they were trying to do for the king. You know, a lot of us just never asked, but how? And a lot of us were stuck in that world where science and so-called spirituality doesn't meet. In my world, science is spirituality, and spirituality and religion is science for me. So I have to find what people would consider to be a scientific validation for what people would consider something as being spiritual. Because I know that if it is true, there has to be that validation. So, you know, not only did they organize their civilization a certain way as to bring heaven down on earth, they had a very, very tangible way, not for everybody at the same time, but definitely for their leadership to actually get there. That's a big difference from a race of people, a nation of people talking about something and actually getting it done as well.
Mm.
Things that a lot of us don't even have the time to think about, but at least we appreciate and realize, you know what, there was something better about those people. What is it? And it's been testified by civilization after civilization that lived around their time and after.
No doubt about it.
Now, bringing heaven down on earth, absolutely phenomenal.
Now, when you talk about bringing down heaven to earth, I know there was another point in which that we're all the gods and goddesses. Since we were talking about bringing heaven to earth, one of the things in which that you said was to deal with the science of the Ka, which is chi or ki energy. And
right.
Being that we are earthlings, the image and after the likeness of the earth itself being 75% water, we being 75% water, obviously one of the duties is to bring heaven to earth, which is that Ka, that spirit from into us, in order to help transform into a higher state of consciousness, you know, to give us a better perception and awareness on what is actually taking place, to put a veil from our eyes about what's really going on planet Earth.
Right.
You know, if you want to ask, we're all the gods and goddesses.
Yeah. We are the gods and the goddesses. Some people don't even believe. Some people have, you know, falling into the pit of what I call monotheism, the world's major religionism, that, you know, this is something. I mean, people have done great jobs in the past of, you know, producing great works that show the origins of, you know, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity coming out of, you know, the Nile Valley and, you know, the missiles and, you know, of Osiris and, you know, Heru and Orset and, you know, these are great works, but we have to beat that drum. Like, that beast, because it's a beast right now. It's a three-headed monster. It's a Roman three-headed monster called, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, in the way that it is being orchestrated and brought to the people. In its contemporary fashion, design, style, and behavior, it's a major problem. It's not a minor problem. It's not one that you can just stick your head in the sand and like, you know, it's going to go away. You know, people's doors are being knocked down talking about Jehovah. Now, when I do the research, Jehovah is an angel, not the supreme being. But when I do more research, these people come out of these occult organizations and start their own thing, and they need something to start it with. Pick a name. You know, like, pick a name. Pick something. Call it something. But, you know, they got the funding and the backing and the know-how, and then they start these groups, and it's like the three-headed monster. It's like the Leviathan. Every time you cut off a head, two heads grow.
Right.
The only thing is that this thing is like sprouting heads.
This is what Charles Tess Russell did with the formation of the Jehovah Witnesses.
For
a Christian branch.
Yeah.
And he said, picked the deity, which was an angelical being, Jehovah, in that sense.
Right.
Now, my research, Jehovah, which is the elongated form of Yah, you know, and
right.
Yah was one of the names of Tawhidi.
Right.
You know, ancient Kemet. So,
yes.
You know, at least they chose the God of Wisdom in order to pattern themselves.
Yeah.
But,
and, yeah.
But in that sense, they
right.
supposed the teaching.
Right.
It's perverted the teachings in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a person like myself can tell that there really no enlightenment going on in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not really. It's not addressing the needs of the human population to evolve and to survive, to thrive and to move forward. It's not doing that.
Right.
It's more like a slave camp and money collection organization.
Right.
I mean that's what a lot of these things are. You know, you know, it's like Caesar's already getting you with the taxes from a job, then other people are allowed to start these organizations, whether it's under religious NGO, whether it's a nonprofit foundation, but they're allowed to start these organizations and get enough marketing and promotion to collect a lot of money, but it has really nothing to do with helping the human beings who sacrificed their life, sacrificed their judgment on the altar of salvation to really, really, really get to be that crop of humanity that can really help the rest of the human population in a tangible way with their wisdom. Like, you don't get that. You get zombies and drones that come in your house quoting the Bible ad nauseum, a book that has been exposed all over the world as being the morphing chameleon for whosoever's agenda. I mean, the Bible is somebody's prostitute. Plain and simple.
You're right about that. All right.
So,
we're at the top of the hour. What we're going to do, we're going to come back with some questions and answering. So for those who are in the chat, call in. The call-in number is 626-414-3535. That's 626-414-3535. And right now, we're going to go to this song from Brother Babanu. This is Brother Mass, Who Am I?
Cool.
Oh, hey, oh, hey. I got it with this one.
Man,
it's that feel good music.
Yeah,
I swear I'ma make my mama proud.
I'm taking off my destination to the sky. I'm a star out in the galaxy and I'ma shine. Show them how bright this little light of mine. Blind them when they hear my rhymes, lyrics, and like in mine. I'm so out of this world, I'm like the mind. I'm in space with the constellation like Orion. Ahead of my time, live my life in Rewind. Think like I'm divine, made in the image of my God, now who am I?
First of all, I ain't perfect, no. We all did bad things on purpose, y'all. And at the time, we had to decide that's what we thought was smart. Or even worse, we ain't even think at all.
Nah.
I wish people knew all his thoughts, how we think, and how we all evolve, man. Look. On the all in all, I'm just trying to escape this mental holocaust. Do away with the fear, hate, and horror, dawg. And make way for this love, so when my karma calls, I give back what I put out, watch it all revolve. Learn to handle all my problems, whether tall or small. They say I'm gonna be large in my oracle. It's written all in the stars like a horoscope. Got them switching they play calls like an audible. They like, forget the ball, man, you wanna hear more, yo. I'm taking off my destination to the sky. I'm a star out in the galaxy and I'ma shine. Show them how bright this little light of mine. Blind them when they hear my rhymes, lyrics, they're like, am I? I'm so out of this world, I'm like the mind. I'm in space with the constellation like Orion. Ahead of my time, live my life in Rewind. Think like I'm divine, made in the image of my God, now who am I? I am that I am, a minute portion of the absolute. Collective consciousness, I see myself when I look at you. Treat people how you wanna be treated, ain't nothing more true. The empathy in me, help me feel what you going through. I know what it's like, man, I was raised in the hood too. But deep inside those bad guys, it's some good dudes. The way we think make us do the things that's horrible. And we don't care, cause this life is the life that all we know. You hear one day and then you bury you tomorrow. And if you real, you might get a rest in peace tomorrow. The hood, they be missing you, wishing there was more of you. And when they sip liquor, we'll hit the floor, it's what they pour for you. Let my music be used like portals, cause I'm on another dimension when I give them my vocals. And these rappers, they are local. And them cats on television, half of them ain't got no soul. I'm taking off my destination to the sky. I'm a star out in the galaxy and I'ma shine. Show them how bright this little light of mine. Blind them when they hear my rhymes, lyrics, they're like, am I? I'm so out of this world, I'm like the mind. I'm in space with the constellation like Orion. Ahead of my time, live my life in Rewind. Think like I'm divine, made in the image of my God, now who am I? I'm just a typical cat with hypocritical ways. Sometimes I do things that's different from what I say. But talk is cheap, it costs way more to behave. Your consciousness is priceless, that's why attention get paid. Your true sense is useless, you don't use it for change. Pennies for my thoughts and my brain, I'm building a bank. Creativity, the only way you can open the safe. Use my heart to produce thoughts that eliminate hate. Love conquer all, fear is for the weak and the faith. Real recognize real and we can't relate. Shoot for the stars, be who you are, don't be scared to be great. The world is yours, so just evolve because the planet awaits. December 21st, 2012, they got you scared of that day. They say the world going in, I say that's just a mistake. The earth still gonna spin and people vibrations gonna rain. And consciously connect with the creator, spiritually awake. I'm taking off my destination to the sky. I'm a star out in the galaxy and I'ma shine. Show them how bright this little light of mine. Blind them when they hear my rhymes, lyrics, they're like, am I? I'm so out of this world, I'm like the mind. I'm in space with the constellation like Orion. Ahead of my time, live my life in Rewind. Think like I'm divine, made in the image of my God, now who am I?
No doubt. Hopefully that helped you with who you are. We're going to go to the phone lines, Brother Babanu. We got area code 917. Area code 917. You're on the air. Hey. Area code 917, you're on the air. All right, we're going to go to area code 111. That is someone who's calling from out of area. You're on the line. Hey.
Sounds like they're just listening in.
Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I didn't realize it was on a private number. Oh, good night, Dr. Bay. How are you doing? This is Deborah. Great show as always.
Yep. Reading.
I wanted to know if the 26th of September or October 3rd, if we could do an interview on Ionic Foot Detox.
Yep, we can.
Which one, the 26th or October 3rd? Thank you.
Either or. I don't have anything scheduled for those dates right now.
All right.
So
thank you so much.
So you just tell me and we can schedule it.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much. More than likely, October 3rd.
Okay, that's good.
All right, have a good night. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, area code 314. Area code 314, you're on the line.
Peace, this is Brother Vidal from St. Louis, Missouri Republic.
Peace, Brother L. How you doing tonight?
Great, brother. Great.
Good.
I was listening to the brother when he was talking about trying to leave a lot of this. It was pretty hard to come out of this mess we in. And the other, I'm about a month ago, I was listening to another show about coming out of the third dimension and into the fourth and fifth dimension, which is what I'm, you know, struggling to do. And so far, been successful. I was thinking about a lot of people. One person said that this being the Aquarian age and the time is up or the game is over for a lot of the big European corporate industrialists, as far as the money system, the commerce, dealing with commerce and about the Federal Reserve and everything as not being real wealth. And all this is about to come to an end. But the biggest problem is most of us Asiatic people of the world are not ready.
Right.
You know, so a lot of them are not ready because a lot of them don't want to leave a lot of their relatives behind, or a lot of them don't want to leave their, you know, a lot of their stuff they're into. They don't want to let that go neither. They just want to hold on to a lot of these European values that they hold so treasure to. And if they get afraid if they leave that, there won't be nothing else. They come on out of it. So that's my mind been going back to and thinking about that. But I have no problem with it, you know. So I'd like to know what is his take on that.
Well, man, you know, it's we see the validity of it when, you know, you watch the news and you see the type of things that people get caught up in, you know, and we can look at how many ways and angles the system colludes to get people to participate in certain things. But then you have a lot of us that, you know, we still don't participate in those things. So there's obviously a way to measure maturity of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So those people that are going to be stuck, that is a measurement of their maturity. Those people that fight that battle to move on, to evolve, to, you know, actually ponder and contemplate and put the work into, you know, what do we have to do to make this thing better, those are the people that will be used. Those are the people that will get the opportunities to make the planet a better place. And the other people will be participating in a lot of the pogroms for eliminating them out of the human species.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so, yeah.
I was listening to one brother. He was talking one time, and he was saying that a lot of Moors in the Moor Science movement don't want to deal with that. We have to one time we probably have to get down to a physical confrontation with this system, you know. And I talked to him. I said, well, the thing about it. Well, some Moors, most of your conscious Moors, don't want to talk about it because they know that there's no win in that. When you're talking about armed conflict, you know,
yeah.
I said, well, you know, we can't even go to the bathroom and wipe our behinds without them, without any of their toilet tissue paper. So how are you going to talk about getting some kind of conflict with the Abian or European powers, and you don't even have any standing armies or standing Navy or standing Air Force? For one thing, number one, you can't even hardly get a lot of the Asiatic and Asiatic communities, especially in North America, to stop killing one another.
So yeah,
that was my answer to him, you know.
Right.
So, what is your take on that? So,
you know, this is such a serious thing that people might not contemplate just simply because it's so enormous. It's such the big elephant in the room, and. You know, I say it because, you know, we've been exterminated. I mean, and they have made it public that they intend to seriously, I don't know to what point, but to seriously reduce the black population globally. They have every single intention. And
right.
It is already being implemented. Are we going to be like boiling? Are we going to be like frogs in slow boiling water until poop? We are no more? I mean, where does it end? Where and Hopi prophecy. Now, I do a lot of research. You know, Hopi prophecy states that there's going to be one more confrontation. Between, you know, black people and this system. There's going to be one more confrontation. And, I am rational about the fact that we are outgunned and outarmed, but I'm not irrational about the fact that even if it means getting shot, it has to be done. And people don't want to deal with that. Are you ready to put your life on the line for your people?
No doubt. I have no problem with that at all.
See, no. That's when that is no longer such a big elephant in the room. Because if you look at the way that they govern nations, they don't take those options off the table. Those are not options you take off the table if it's survival.
Right.
You
I
know,
mean, what
yeah,
I'm saying
you,
is, I'll go down fighting. You know, this is what I'm saying. I'll go down fighting. But I said just to get out there and just try to take over, you know.
Oh, no, that's not.
No, that's not, you know, to me that's not possible.
I know that our efforts will be best spent getting ourselves together there's a whole lot more fruits and opportunities in that direction. And I say that because I know that we are not alone in the universe. I'm not living in the reality perception of, you know, it was a random event that created the universe, or that there's only one, you know, creator, God, and looks like a white dude. You know, I'm not in the reality perception that, you know, this is it, the end all be all, because I wouldn't have a concept of justice then either. So my personal conviction is that enough of us with enough light are going to have enough desire, passion, and ambition to pull it off through the adversities that come with such a mission.
Okay, my point exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Good.
Okay, so listen to you also what you were saying, that by being, it don't mean that when we try to strive to come out of this, that it's not guaranteed we will be successful. So,
This go around. Meaning, reality perception. How old are you? You know, are you immortal? Is this your only life? You know. We've been at these crossroads before. You know, we have been at similar crossroads like this before. You know, sometimes we've won and sometimes we've lost. You know, in other words, right now it doesn't have to be guaranteed for me. For me, what I want to guarantee is that I really tried. Because that'll carry with me into my next life. Not that I stood by and did nothing. Because that's what you carry into your next life.
Okay.
You know, what did you do? Really, what did you do? And the first dose of that I got was during meeting Stokely Carmichael.
Okay.
Don't pretend that you really want to do something. You know, and go beyond trying. Leave a mark.
Okay.
You know, put everything that you can put into it.
Okay,
and it's not what the naysayers say, it's what the people that cheer you on say that matters way more than what the people that don't do. But do something.
Okay. Well, I thank you for your advice on that. And Dr. Eileen, thank you much for letting me come on your show.
No doubt. Thank you, Brother L.
Yes, sir, brother.
Ray, we got another caller here. Area code 647. Area code 647. Peace.
Hello.
Yeah,
Islam.
Peace.
Peace, God. Peace. You know, this show is off the hook, man, all the time with crazy knowledge, and it's very good. I just wanted to, you know, I heard the brother talking about black and all this. And I just wanted to say, you know, we got to change the literature, because anyhow you from America, you're the Moor. The other brother was talking about Moors, like, oh, you know, I know these Moor science people, like, we different people. We Moors. We on the science. You feel me? So, I mean, just wanted to make that clear and put it out there, because there is no reason for us to get violent or to have to fight anybody, because we got. And once you reach the higher self, there's not going to be any reason for that. So some of these concerns, you know, I just wanted to address them and just change the literature and keep it clear that if you're not dealing with nationality, status, and birthright, you know, you got problems. You need to know who you are. You feel me?
No doubt.
That's all I wanted to say. You know, Islam. No, for real. You know, like, I respect the brother. I respect the guest. Everyone, they're talking on some high science, but we have to understand that we are not black, colored, Negro, and that's what's keeping us dead and making us feel like we need to do something or fight back. We don't got to fight back. That's not in our nature. That's not in melanated people's nature. We're on a whole next level. We're on a high science. So I just want to, you know, make that clear out there and give peace to the gods for convening and breaking down the science. All right?
You got any comment on that?
Who, me?
Yes, Brother Babanu.
Oh, no, I have absolutely no comment on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, peace, God. All right?
Peace,
peace and love,
peace,
man. That's what we deal with, you know? Peace, love, and truth. Freedom and justice, baby. Peace.
No doubt.
Peace.
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 All right, Brother Babanu.
Yes, sir. Are you taking more calls, or do we continue the journey?
Yes, we're going to continue the journey because we don't have any more at this particular moment. But we have been going into a discussion in the chat room dealing with Jehovah and what we were saying about Jehovah. And I know I was just bringing out in reference to Jehovah Witnesses, you know, being that Charles Tess Russell formed the Jehovah Witnesses in the late 1800s. And Charles Russell was related to William Russell, who formed the Skull and Bones Society, which is the second chapter of the so-called Illuminati, you know, on Yale's campus. So I was showing a correlation by saying Jehovah in regards to Jehovah Witness, not in the form of worship. Of course not, because I'm a Moor, so I wouldn't worship Jehovah, you know.
Right.
But I understand with Jehovah, name is derived from, is from Yah or Jah, you know, which that is the name according to Dr. Binyakinen in his African Origin of Western Religion, Major World Religions. He states that Tahuti is Jah or Yah or Jehovah. And of course, this is talking about Jehovah in that regard, you know, being Tahuti, but I didn't get into the explanation. So I'm going to have to explain it for people can understand what we're talking about on an esoterical, metaphysical level, spiritual level. Now, when you look at Hebrew, the letter in Hebrew is called Gop, which is Q-O-P-H. All right? The symbol for Gop is a monkey. All right? The back of the head. An axe, and the word copy. Now, this is no coincidence, because Tahuti's symbol is what? A baboon, which is a monkey.
Yeah.
Humanin, within the Sanskrit teachings, the Humanin, which is the deity, he's a monkey within Sanskrit, or the Hindu Kushites teachings in India.
He's Hanuman, you mean?
Right, Hanuman.
Yeah.
This is all symbolic to Tahuti. Now,
and to evolution as well.
Right, and evolution in that sense. But Tahuti, as I said, the symbol is Gulf. Now, it says at the back of the head. That's the key. Because at the back of the head, in your own physical body, is the medulla oblongata.
Right.
And that is the copying center for your memories. It's no coincidence that Tahuti, within the Greek, is called Thor, and with that, we get the English transliteration of the word thought.
And so to deals a lot with memory, too.
Right, and so that's the dealing of the signs of memory. Exactly. So Tahuti symbolizes within each and every one of us the ability to memorize. And when you have mastered Tahuti, you have a photographic memory.
Well, you know, yeah, and you know,
and you're able to tap into your past lives. So I just wanted to make this, you know, this correlation. Go ahead, Brother Babanu.
Yeah, you know, you can't learn without memory.
All right.
You know,
and you can't evolve without memory.
And you can't be immortal without memory.
Right. That's what evolves you is your memory, because that is based on your physical life experiences. So that shows you how influential Tahuti is, and why Tahuti is called a deity, because it's talking about your memories. Your memories helps you to gain godhood, to help you become a netter or a force of nature. This is the science. If a person just telling me about Tahuti and then can't correlate Tahuti to me, then that's just like me, that's just like a Christian trying to tell me about Moses split the Red Sea 4,000 years ago. It has no significance whatsoever. So if you're coming from an Egyptologist or Kemetologist standpoint, or you're coming from a Christianity or Islamic or Judaism standpoint, it doesn't matter. If you are telling me in regard of something in which that you can't explain to me and how it relates to me, that's the whole reason why I'm here on Earth, is to find out how things relate to me.
But, you know, in realizing that you've come to that point, realize that you came to that point, a lot of people haven't come to that point yet.
Right.
I mean, the point in realizing that you came to that point is in the math of not everybody's there yet.
Right.
So, you know, you have that crowd of people that just digest and gobbles down, you know, especially when they are new to, you know, let me try something else, or even if they are not, because we see this type of blind acceptance of, let's call it the gospel, coming out of, you know, the world's major religions. But some of us, we get to that point where it's like, you know, this stuff really, really has to make sense. Doesn't
right.
matter who is coming from, where it is coming from, you know, what is it really going to do for me? And a person would consider that to be selfish in the negative, pure speculation and perspective. You know, you've lived your life. You've made those sacrifices. You have done a whole lot to, you know, find solutions. You reach a point where things have to be tangible and of value if you're going to engage your time in it. And that relates directly to you.
Exactly.
You know, so if I'm going to entertain information that is new to me, it has to be relative. Even though it's new to me, I have to be able to use it tangibly in my everyday life, which is the now, which is the present, which is now. How can I use that? You know?
That's right.
That's how it has gotten with the capitalist system, but that's the reality of maturing and coming into being. Self-preservation, you know?
No doubt about it.
Yeah, man.
We have another caller here. It's 773, area code 773. You're on the air.
How you doing, brothers?
Greetings.
Peace.
I just got a quick question. I just want to get y'all thoughts on this article that came out on MSNBC today. It's saying that, hold on one second. It is saying that they finally translated the Egyptian language, which I know it got to be a lie, but it's an article that came out today on MSNBC. like. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Wow.
I'm
trying to pull it up so I can read more in detail.
Right. Well, if they haven't gone to the Akan people who speak Shri, which is over 90% Metu Neta, then I doubt that very seriously.
Okay. Now I got it up. Now it's a 37-year project to compile a dictionary of an ancient Egyptian script used for daily communication has been completed, offering an unprecedented look at the words of ordinary ancient Egyptians.
Now, they're being very, very honest here, and we also have to be very, very honest, too. This is for everyday, ordinary Egyptians. We live in a civilization that has many, many differences from ancient Egypt, but many, many similarities. The language of, let's say, science is a different language from everyday speech.
Right.
And most of what we study from ancient Kemet is the language of science, not everyday speech. They are translating text and symbols for everyday speech. This is not the advanced scientific understanding of the ancient Egyptians, but they are being very, very clear in a very simplified way.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my thoughts is if it takes you 35 years to read, for me, I'm reading as it took them 35 years to develop their what they want people to think of as everyday Egyptian, you know, speech and thought relative to the symbolism used to actually write. There's a reason why it took them 35 years. Because this is part of social engineering relative to what Egypt really was and what they want to present Egypt to be, which has a lot to do with why I call this show Consciousness and Reality Perception, because who owns reality perception owns consciousness, owns you. Who tells you what that meant is the one that owns your perception of reality.
Okay.
But you know, I was also taught that you can see truth in every single thing that people say. You just have to know how to look for it. And I saw it for everyday people. That's for. I'm not trying to be everyday people.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. I just trying to get your thoughts on that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're welcome, bro.
Yeah, let me tell you this book to get to by Dr. Muwada Ashby. It's a book called Ancient Egyptian Writing for Beginners.
Okay. Okay.
It's about it took 35 years. Well, he did it a few years ago, so they behind the key.
Yeah, it took 37 years.
Right.
Right. You know, I mean, it's such an insult. You know why? First of all, it's already been done with the Coptic language and the Ethiopians helped them to put it together. So what are you telling me now? Africans ain't good enough to reconstruct an African language?
Right.
I'm not interested.
Right. Okay, I appreciate it, brother.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right.
Thing is that Egypt is still a hot commodity.
Right.
And this is another thing that I realized spending so much time doing research generalis, just doing research on history. I must have watched like 40 different shows, at least 30 of them mentioned ancient Egypt.
Right.
Like 75% on your historical, super phenomenal, deep, you know, you going back to Egypt, You want to talk about Atlantis, you're going through Egypt. You know, you want to talk about aliens and ancient visitations, you're going through Egypt. I mean, you want to talk about why what the people who rule the planet are doing, you're going to talk about Egypt.
No doubt about
so,
it.
Yeah, so you know when it comes to Egypt, I'm really, really careful, man. Because it's like an epicenter of reality, perception, race, relations. You had a whole lot of other civilizations popping off and other, you know, racial groups coming together, you know, mixing. I mean, like, so you had, after Egypt, you had Persians, Akkadians, Phoenicians, Macedonians, you know, Romans, you know, Ottoman Turks. It just continued to be like a domino effect of a fight in that region to control human civilization and to guide it and to design it. They were pioneers at designing not just the landscape of human civilization, because designing the landscape of human civilization, it affects the landscape of the human mind. The type of dreams that people have is relative to the design and layout of the structures in their civilization. It is relative to the style of the artwork, how it is proportioned. You know, beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. That's an absolute erroneous theory. Beauty is mathematical. Beauty is proportional. Beauty is symmetrical. It's not in the eye of the beholder. The beholder can be miseducated and mentally retarded. So a lot of times we don't even realize that we are living in a dysfunctional, down to the furniture in our house. These people had a much higher standard of, let's call it, perfection. They had much more of a disdain for, you know, inaccuracies, instability, you know, imbalance than we do now. So I'm not particularly interested in those people who want to come and tell me what the ancient Egyptian, you know, ordinary speech was. I want to work with my ancestors and the deities, other traditional African cultures that are around, and languages and stuff like that. You know, because I've had enough.
Okay.
Thank you. You know that you had 8 years of my life. I'll take the rest.
You had my
attention for that long. I mean, it was winning after 14 years, but hey, you know?
Right. All right. You spoke about the African deities. Is that from the Budan tradition, from the Palo Mayombe, you know, what particular traditions, you know, in regard?
You mean that I work with?
Right, and that, you know, that we can work with also.
You know, I use, I'm telling you what I use and what I do. I use you could call it the astrology of the ancient Kemal, which brings the pantheon, because the stars and planets are delineated as deities. That's what I use. There are other deities that I work with that you're not going to find extant in ancient Kemet, and I've seen that it's because they are hiding a whole lot of ancient Kemet. And I saw that with Gerald Massey.
Right.
So, you know, I also, because, you know, I mean, different deities introduced themselves to me. So I also work with deities that introduce themselves to me, and I get to be familiar with who and what they are. You know, who are you? What are you? You know, where are you from? You know, what's your intention? The same way that I might work with a particular person, you know, it depends
right.
on what you are trying to do, you know.
Right.
My familiarity with you, trust and loyalty and stuff like that. So it's not, I would classify it as universal. You know, I work with deities from different planets and star systems. You know, it's not something that's like, it's not, you know, it's me remembering that what they have me believing is not real was real to me, as real as it is now real to me, and I'm looking at mythology like they made it a mythology that is actually real, and me living that life of those relationships with, you know, just a brief interruption. Maybe 150 years, not much of a long time.
Okay.
So, you know, I work with deities that have known me for a long time, known me when I forgot myself.
Got you.
You know?
Okay. I like that. So do you suggest that the people set up altars? Do they need a shrine? What is it that they need to do in order to begin to start getting this connection, in order to become more aware and conscious of what's going on around them and who they can tap into?
You know, you definitely have to deprogram first. You have to deprogram. And then you have to realize, you know, why, and be comfortable and humbled about having to be deprogrammed, just so that you can have a healthier, more harmonious reintroduction to what they call as the unseen. You know, and you also have to have patience.
Right.
You know, it's not the cookie jar to the lot of numbers.
Right.
It's very, very fascinating. It's also very inspiring. You know?
Right.
You know, I always tell people connect with their ancestors first. And I've never been told anything else. I've always been told, you know, as a priest, that's the right advice. Get people to connect with their ancestors first if they can. That's your closest family. That's your closest family, and even some of them that have recently transitioned from having a human body to living in the earth, and if possible, in heaven.
Right.
You know, talk to them. You're going to start to see that, you know, all that Christian stuff ain't garbage, all that Muslim stuff ain't garbage, and all that Judaism stuff isn't garbage. It's not all garbage.
That's right.
Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Exactly. That's the key.
You know, there is truth in it all, and that's why it has captivated so many people.
That's right. Billions of people.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of truth in it.
Right. There's 4 billion people that would tell you otherwise on this planet. Real small number.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's because... Yeah. You know, upgraded, I guess, in a sense, you know, or seeking some type of higher consciousness outside of the confines in which that they have told us throughout the years. Because I know for myself, the a lot of the stuff that they said just didn't make any sense. And so, I mean, I had to find out myself. And so we got a question in the chat room. Luke 27 said, should I face my altar to the east or should I face the east?
You should face the east. When you are facing the east, now where an altar is to be faced is relative to the type of deity. And, you know, there's a chart for that. But facing the east has a lot to do with, for lack of a better term, sun worship, because the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. You know, sun worship, so-called sun worship, has a lot to do with worshiping evolution itself, worshiping improvement, meaning putting in improving your life and improving life at the center of life, which is why the deity Kepera is seen as the soul of the sun. Because in your basic drive should be to improve yourself. That's what Kepera represents. That's what praying to the east represents, amongst other things. First of all, it's an acknowledgement of one of the major sustainers of life in its closest proximity to us. You know, it's one of the biggest examples also of success. Total reorientation with what people have been told is idol worship and all this other stuff that people have been confused with. Their lifestyle, their rituals, their, you know, the things they did that some of us are calling religion or spirituality had so much to do with evolution itself. You know, when you look at the Japanese samurai culture, you see how much of a perfectionist culture it is. That comes out of Africa. Talking about the golden age, the way that people built a house, the way that people ate a meal, the way that people shaped a utensil, the way that people designed an outfit. You know, lifestyle itself, praying to the east, why you pray to the east, you know, chanting certain words, you know, repetitively, having altars in your house of very, very advanced, not just technologically advanced, but philosophically advanced beings. You know, altars and deities are supposed to represent beings that are very academically adept, very intelligent, and also very powerful.
Right. We got 10 more minutes before we get out of here. You have any closing remarks or anything that you want to build on before we go? We got a question. The question was dealing with the I guess back with astrology in a sense and the cycle of time.
The person wants a definition of time?
And as well as the influence upon human life, I would suspect.
Can you repeat that?
Astrology or astronomy and the influence of the stars, the movement in which that we call time and how it influenced life upon this planet. I.e., you and I?
One of the best ways to look at that is through how the ancient Egyptian dynasties, how the pharaohs, the Nisuts or the Sutens were named after certain deities that were in harmony with the constellation of the sign that of the sign of the period that it was in. You know, and, you know, following that, set up with the circular zodiac dendera and how that related to the solar system and the constellations and how, you know, different ages they would celebrate that, okay, this is what deity, this is what personality, this is what paradigm is ruling now, meaning that our lives followed the lives of the deities as the constellations and the ruling planets. So, you know, it's still back to the heaven on, you know, earth and the setting up of temples in specific places and locations. You know, different leaders were seen as, you know, like avatars or call them representatives of specific deities. It wasn't just that, you know, I am ruling because of God. You know, there was no God back in ancient Kemet and in these ancient civilizations. There was the universe as a macrocosmic being, if you want to call that the one God, fine. I won't argue with you. But there was the reality that within the universe, there were these very, very huge, powerful beings as suns and constellations, as suns, aka stars, planets, moons, and then as constellations, clusters, and that they had influence within the universe. Now, looking at ancient cultures, we saw to be in harmony was very, very interesting. One of the things that we don't often think about is the precision of the zodiac. I mean, you might look up into the skies and it looks like a bunch of random stars. How does that become a clock for the movement of our planet, not just on its axis around the sun, but how the sun transits through each of those signs? There is a precision to the movement of the planets, which is ascribed to the deity Tehuti, who is said to be the one who sets the planets on the orbits, who determines their orbits, their trajectories, and their speeds. And that's what not just orchestrates time as we experience it, but that's also what orchestrates the experience of the influence of those planetary bodies on each other and the life that evolves on a planet like Earth.
Okay. We have a last question in which that is dealing with what's your breakdown on the King's List? Recently it's been found to be somewhat inaccurate as far as them trying to tell us about the old dynasties and the new dynasty, and then, you know, various names missing, or, you know, there's certain things in which that just doesn't equal up, you know, to the old kingdom and the new kingdom based on their calculations. Have you done any study on the King's List?
I am wondering, you know, first, I haven't done a lot of study on the King's List, but I'm wondering if he is asking about whether or not the dates are accurate. And
right, that's what he's asking about, those particular
right.
dates.
I don't believe, I'm not certain about the dates being accurate.
Right.
The reason is, when you go back to the circa date of the founding of ancient Kemet, there are two distinct discrepancies. One is there is a 1,000-year difference according to different people, and that's just too wide. And then when they speak of pre-dynastic Kemet, well, why are you calling it pre-dynastic if you're finding that there were dynasties? You know, so there's like, you know, when did it actually start? You know, and also there is obvious proof of it being a restart. Now, not only was it a restart, but the people that lived in the Kemet before the restart, with the climactic change, they weren't killed off. They just migrated to a different part of Africa and possibly as well the Middle East and Asia. Africa, I personally am certain of. You know, I'm not excluding information that can lead to them dispersing to other regions of the planet. But then also them migrating back there, still carrying their advanced knowledge of civilization building, you know, math, science, astronomy, and these things. And this is why you see that from what they call the pre-dynastic era, there's already advanced language, knowledge of the deities, who are the constellations. There's already pretty advanced writing. So, you know, you don't just, if you start a civilization with math and with a writing system, you're not starting from scratch. So how long have you been around? You know, what does the date of the beginning represent? If it's 1,000 years apart, then it shifts all the other dynasties and when they started that came afterwards. You know, why is there such a wide discrepancy of at least 1,000 years? But then what really gets ignored is the fact that these people had been doing this for at least 35,000 years. And they are slowly, you know, this, when I talk about the revolution is being televised, that is becoming public now too. 35,000 years, but
right.
Now they are saying that, you know, and now they're saying that aliens
right.
built this and built that. It's really childish. It's really, really childish, and it's just obviously some inferiority complexes that haven't been dealt with.
Of course, because that got to do with the fact that Gerald Massey already told us over 100 years ago that we built it as Africans, you know.
Right.
And not just that he took it back to 35,000, and he put it back to over 52,000 years ago. As
yep.
far as his information, so he did that over 100 years ago. So, you know, them trying to say this now, you know, they're out of the loop, you know, with time, because people already knew this over 100 years ago, you know. But we thank you, Brother Babanu, for coming on.
You
only got 2 minutes left. Anytime that you want to come back, you know the deal.
Thank you, brother, man.
No problem, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Everybody have a good night. Peace and love.
All right. We got the online classes in healing. For those who want to know more about the science of Chi, Ka, Reiki, Ra, Holy Spirit, whatever term that you want to refer to it as, Shekem, Sekhmet, you can get in contact with Dr. Aline Bay through Healing Wings Institute, Healing Wings Online at yahoo.com. That's H-E-A-L-I-N-G, Healing Wings, W-I-N-G-S, Online, O-N-L-I-N-E, at yahoo.com. Healing Wings Online at yahoo.com. You also, for Demores, in which that is out there riding on your own tags or riding dirty, as they would want us to know or think. Of course, we got the National Motor Club that you definitely might want to check out, and with that you can call us at 252-257-3588. And not only with the National Motor Club, we can help you with the nationalization also, in which that we do reclamation as being part of United Washington Deduct Ammonia, AHT Washington East, as well as also we have the cruise coming up on March 21st through 25th, United Washington conference cruise, in which that everyone is invited. So regardless on if you think that you're not indigenous to the Americas and you're just indigenous to the world, because as Africans, you are the oldest people on the planet, it doesn't make a difference. Bring your behinds onto this cruise and you will enjoy it. And you can contact us at 252-257-3588. That's 252-257-3588. Come on out and check us out. All right, we're going out. We got a song for you. Oh, hold on. We got a question, I guess. Area code 917. Peace.
Good night.
Peace. 917.
The other day. Yes, yes, indeed. I did send you an email to the Healing Wings. I'm interested in the classes. And also, I was trying to get some information, contact information for a brother you had on in August that I called the show and spoke to you guys. I don't want to mispronounce his name, but it's Baba Mufundi, something of that nature.
Infidishi.
Yes, yes, Infidishi. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. I'm from New York. You know, I couldn't make it down to the expo you had, and I believe it was Baltimore, Maryland. Well, so, you know, I was hoping maybe I can get some information on online classes. And I think that brother is from New York, so I was trying to touch base with him if possible. I searched, but I haven't been able to find him online. I am on Facebook.
On Facebook. Just put in Infidishi, and you can actually get his name. If you go to my login, you go to the back of Blog Talk Radio, and you look at the shows in which that I've had on, you can see the spelling of his name and his information. You can actually contact him on Facebook.
Okay, well, that's excellent.
And he will respond.
Okay, I'll contact him. And whenever you have that Healing Wing, I mean, I've been a vegetarian for like the last decade, you know, and I'm doing a lot of more raw foods. But my wife always jokes that I might be the most congested vegetarian around, you know. So I'm looking to try to channel my energy, get my food down straight, trying to get my health. I know breathing, it seems like breathing, the deep and the chronic breathing is. It's key to everything, and I'm just so congested. So, you know, I'm looking to move forward. So I sent the email to the Healing Wings.
We got some herbs to clean you out with that. We got some herbs.
Okay. Well, I definitely sent you the email to the Healing Wings online. So whenever you respond, I'm ready. And I will look that brother up. I appreciate it. Peace, God. Have a good night.
Peace, God. Peace. Good night. All right, we're going to have that fire for you. This is Timbo King, Show Us the Way.
Yeah. Keep up. Yeah. Keep up. Timbo 2. Keep up. Keep up. Guidance. Keep up. Peace, King. Keep up. Timbo 2. Keep up. Show us the way like Martin, he fought for civil rights. Defeat the children, you need more than rights. That's why we roll the dice, gamble like snake eyes. You got to pay the price, now you got to waive your rights. For all your wrongdoing, surprise the devil's gift. Now who is Esau, Edomite, devilish? Digital terrorists running through your Merrill Lynch. You know the origin, Lords of Sin. Yeah, from Brooklyn to the Vatican, marching on Washington. It's black power to the fifth power. You know the final hour, book for Jasper. The path of righteousness is what I'm after. I see the future through the wine bottle. When evil swallows your pride, demonically you follow. But that's your subconscious light through your penal gland. A thinking process, achieve it, then you see the land. Show us the way to build like Hiram Abiff. The temples of Solomon, carpenters follow the left. Jerusalem, baby, now enter, come with your gifts. Show us the way like Huey when he moved with the Panthers. The 12-step program pamphlet come with the answers. Let us the promised land go to war Afghanistan. Read about duality, reality, you follow me. Pharisees of famine, the devil's apology. The code of theology is written on the Bible sheets. Show us the way like Obama when he won the election. You know we strive for perfection. The hierarchy is Marley and Garvey. I'm Garley, tribe of Benjamin beside me. Now guide me, Trinity rap. Show us the way, follow the map. It's the almanac, Maccabees. the Star of David on my dungarees. I spit degrees about some prophecies. Inhale, OG Kush and drink berry. Toast up in the name of Joseph and Mary. God forgive, I live amongst the rebels and the outlaws. Vegans and the carnivores, show you the revolving doors. Slave blood, chicken George, call me out of telly. The grateful dead buried in them holy cemeteries. Them snakes in the garden, better cut your grass quick. It's the nature in man for him to access. Show us the way like Moses when he came with the tablets. Show us the way to speak the language Hebrew and Latin. Show us the way to make the clothing using the fabric. Show us the way somewhere to stray. So let us pray for better days. Show us the way somewhere to stray. So let us pray for better days.